Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
I'm getting a little older now, Congressman Paul Tonko, and I wanted to know, how's my Social Security doing and my Medicare? I mean, I know the Republicans keep trying to change them and, you know, downsize them, but am I safe or am I going to the poorhouse?
You know, I think there are still these efforts of vouchering out a Medicare program, giving you a voucher that's worth 30 cents on the dollar, so that would change Medicare as we know it. I continue to fight with my colleagues of like thinking to fight against any changes to undo Medicare as we know it.
Let me stop you and say, colleagues of like thinking, you mean other Democrats who are concerned about this whole thing?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, they don't give up. Representative Ryan from Wisconsin, who chairs the Budget Committee in the House, I believe is still determined as they introduce their budget. They still talk about messing with Medicare. And I think, if anything, we should make it stronger, especially with the onslaught of baby boomers. But it's been a system that's worked. It's worked well. We've strengthened the Medicare Trust Fund. And I think that hands off ought to be the message. Do not undo Medicare. People are very content with that program. It served them well. And when we think of 1963 and 64, when if you retired, you automatically determined that your economic security would go south.
Sure.
Simply because of health care expenses.
Sure.
That has provided stability and a great foundation for America's seniors across the country.
Now, do you think that the Republicans and those people who would mess with Medicare have learned any lessons? You had a congresswoman from your south there who lost. I think it was a large thing, even though she said they had changed their minds.
Right.
She lost. I think if you mess with certain aspects of our lives, you lose.
Well, you know, one would think so, but they're very good at being spin doctors, and they try to focus the issue onto Affordable Care Act and the Medicare sweep that they claim was done to the tune of $500 million, when in fact we were cutting into the profits of the insurance industry for Medicare Advantage.
Uh-huh.
And taking that and providing for, you know, closing the loophole or the donut hole for pharmaceuticals and preventative measures, screenings that would be offered without money out of the pocket of seniors. They, on the other hand, swept those savings for tax cuts for the wealthy in the Ryan budget again this time, and they continued the onslaught on Medicare. So, you know, they try to, when you talk about, you know, have they learned from the messaging, I think they try to just transfer the attention over to the Affordable Care Act discussion, which they've misrepresented or not shared with full disclosure, full information, all while trying to divert people's attention from their attack on Medicare by vouchering it. 30 cents on the dollar will mean digging deep as a senior into your individual pocket.
You know, as a political scientist, I tried to understand why people vote. What makes somebody vote? Now,
intensity, oftentimes. Something will drive them.
Look, we know that the corner has been turned, but gay folks voted. You know, I mean, if I'm gay, let me tell you right now, my number one concern is gay rights. I mean, that's the way that it works. If I'm Hispanic, my number one concern is being Hispanic or immigration or my family's immigration. And what part of that don't these guys get? The same thing with Medicare. You know, you're on Medicare, you're on Social Security. It is your is what you rely on to get through the rest of your life, and somebody threatens it. It's got to be poisonous.
Well, it's poisonous, but it's also been a lifelong in terms of Medicare and Social Security. It's been through the life cycle of Social Security and Medicare that the attacks have been there, somewhat more silent. But from its inception, Social Security was attacked. When President Roosevelt introduced it, they attacked it, and he did a buy-in, not for any other an economic purpose as much as for a political purpose, to buy ownership into the program. And the same is true with Medicare, under attack routinely. And so, you know, they continued this. I think they won't be content until Medicare and Social Security, one being privatized, Social Security being privatized, and Medicare being vouchered, is their ultimate goal. And they've introduced it again, knowing that there were attacks made on candidates from their party in the recent, most recent past election. But they're continuing that onslaught because, look, it helps the insurance industry.
Don't they ever learn anything? I mean, the privatization, for example, with big privatization, and then the stock market goes south. And then everybody realizes, hey, if we had put this money into the stock market, we'd have nothing right now as opposed to the amount that we get in Social Security. Mm-hmm. And
nobody lost a single cent.
That's right. And now they begin to do it again. Don't they learn?
I think it's just driving, you know, with a message that they're so insatiably thirsty to get that message out. That perhaps you don't think of the political consequences, but it's a very strong impact on the senior population in our country, and certainly many seniors in our district have spoken out loud and clear about it. Hands off Medicare, do not privatize Social Security, and they're two programs that were initiated to really speak to middle-income community of America, and I think that we should make every effort that we can to preserve Medicare as we know it and to keep Social Security afloat. Do not privatize it.
Hey, Paul Tonko, you always tell me the straight stuff, so I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
We have a sense of a climate of corruption in Albany. But the only people who seem to be policing that climate of corruption, no matter what people say, are the feds. You get the U.S. attorney coming in and making these arrests and doing all of this stuff. I'm wondering whether you can explain why that is, why the state isn't moving as opposed to the feds. I know it's a little off your reservation, but it's something I know you might think about.
Well, I think because some of the behavior here of candidates or office holders has, you know, required the federal agency to look at it. It's within their jurisdiction. But I think some of that self-enforcement that can come with campaign finance reform, getting some of these big dollars out of the system, it's discouraging to see what role deep pockets are playing today, you know, with all sorts of efforts in Washington and Albany. I think we can help the cause in a tremendously sound way by advancing campaign finance reform.
You think that'll happen? Says in some way they're for it, but in the end, it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, I think I think it's important to strike when irons are so hot. And right now, there's a lot of concern about, you know, the need for campaign finance reform. The struggle, I hesitated to say, well, you think it would happen, because I think the struggle right now is what format to use. I'm on some measures in the House of Representatives. Congressman Larson from Hartford, Connecticut area has a bill. John Sarbanes from Maryland, from the Baltimore area, Representative Sarbanes has a measure. People are in disagreement as how to best solve this issue, but I think we need to come together, really focus on it and get it done, because I think the money in the system is causing these ripple effects of bad behavior that also drags down the system. You know, it shouldn't be about who has the deepest pockets getting the policy done. It should be about the justice and fairness of it all, as we have recently seen with even sequestration. You know, the one that's got the loudest voice or the deepest pockets seems to get the response.
Well, our great friend Paul Tonko has been here with us, and he'll be back real soon, and we'll continue this conversation on this very subject. So stay tuned. Paul, great to have you here.
Always a pleasure, Alan.